At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The YouTube live chat poll, can blue states be saved? Yes or no? Or keep them blue. You might think that you like them the way they are. Got a little something there for everybody. We are, looking at a lot of what this administration has transitioned to. After the big, beautiful bill was signed, there were a lot of investigations that were announced. And one of them was into Comey and Brennan.
President Trump, James Comey and John Brennan, now under criminal investigation related to the Trump-Russia probe. Do you want to see these two guys behind bars?
Well, I know nothing about it other than what I read today, but I will tell you, I think they're very dishonest people. I think they're crooked as hell, and maybe they have to pay a price for that. I believe they are truly bad people and dishonest people. So whatever happens, happens.
So that was the president's reaction there to Peter Doocy's question. Let's get to the bottom of what this investigation might actually mean. We welcome back to the show Greg Jarrett, the Fox News legal analyst, former defense attorney and law professor, and author of The Trial of the Century and The Constitution and Other Patriotic Documents. Greg Jarrett, welcome back. It's good to have you here.
Oh, good to be with you, Annie.
This investigation is launched. Of course, you know how the president feels about these individuals. I don't really blame him. What does an investigation mean at this point in time?
I think it's inevitable and absolutely merited that a special counsel be appointed. You don't want the Trump administration, the DOJ, to be themselves bringing the case against, you know, Democrats and political opponents. So I think a special counsel is appropriate. But look, for almost a decade, you know, Trump suffered an onslaught of lies and smears and fraud, deceit, even forgery. Nearly all of it was done by unscrupulous government actors who hated him personally, loathed his policies, and they abused their power and weaponized the law by manufacturing phony documents, crooked investigations, cooked up criminal charges, and they acted in concert with a common goal to sabotage Trump's electoral chances. And, you know, under the law, that would constitute a criminal conspiracy, an agreement to commit illegal acts. And it seems as though, I mean, the evidence is plain that they planned it, they acted together, they schemed, they connived. So I think if appointed a special counsel would look not just at things like false statements by Comey and Brennan, but a larger, overarching conspiracy to defraud the government and deprivation of rights under color of law. Those are both crimes. And in other words, using knowingly false or fabricated evidence to support cases against Trump for political reasons. And, you know, the most obvious was how Comey and Brennan exploited the bogus dossier as this basis to launch the FBI investigation of Trump to obtain spy warrants, even though they knew that this Hillary-funded document, the dossier, was total garbage. Nearly at the outset of the investigation, they debunked it. They actually fired Christopher Steele for lying. But, you know, they told none of that to the public. They didn't tell it to Congress. They certainly didn't tell it to the FISA judges when they obtained the spy warrants. And then they used what they knew was a junk document to try to entrap Trump at the infamous Trump Tower meeting days before his inauguration. So I think you put all of that together and you see this illicit scheme to smear and frame Trump.
Yes, certainly. And we've been hearing about it now for 10 years, about President Trump's, then-candidate Trump's relationship with Russia, among some incredibly ridiculous claims that did stem out of that dossier. People still cite those claims today. They still kind of treat that as gospel, even if it's just willfully so. What kind of consequence comes along with, should these be these allegations that you're saying right here, should they be charged and found guilty? A lot of people who have supported Trump this long want to see the perp walk. They want to see the handcuffs. They want people in jail. Is that likely?
Well, it's too early to be able to say. There are a couple of obstacles. First of all is statute of limitations, because you're talking about crimes that are well past the standard 5-year statute of limitations. But there are a couple of ways around that. First of all, there's the fraud concealment exception. If documents are deliberately concealed and fraudulently withheld, that tolls or suspends the statute of limitations so that it only begins ticking the moment you discover those concealed documents. Another way around it is to allege, you know, this overarching ongoing conspiracy where the statute of limitations starts ticking based on the last act in the conspiracy. So, for example, if you count the Mar-a-Lago raid as part of the ongoing conspiracy, then, yeah, you not only beat the statute of limitations, but that allows you to avoid bringing a case in Washington, D.C., where you can never get a conviction against Democrats there. I mean, Trump got 6% of the vote last November. So you could bring the case in a conspiracy charge in Florida, where, you know, obviously it would be a lot more of a neutral venue than the nation's capital.
Well, it will certainly be something that I know that our listeners will be paying attention to, and I'll direct them to your opinion piece on FoxNews.com, where you talk about how the CIA report makes it clear Trump was framed. And people can read that in detail. It's a great piece, and I recommend it. I wanted to ask you about the Supreme Court ruling yesterday regarding the Department of Education and the Trump's intentions there. What did we learn from that ruling on how the Trump administration can proceed?
Well, it was one of the easier decisions to make. You know, the president has executive authority under Article 2 to hire and fire. The only question was, can he fire everybody in the Department of Education? And as the Supreme Court pointed out, you know, that's not what he did. Correct me if I'm wrong, about 1,500 jobs, or at least 1,500 jobs are slated to be cut. But that still leaves employees of the Department of Education. And as the Secretary of Education pointed out, we will still, with the remaining employees, abide by our legal obligations pursuant to the statute that created the Department of Education decades ago. And the Supreme Court pointed to that and said, as for all the other employees, you know, they can be fired by the President of the United States.
Well, we'll continue to watch the developments there as the administration moves forward in reforming, if not eliminating, the Department of Education. One other question on a separate issue, since I have you, we're speaking with Greg Jarrett. It's an honor to have you here, and I want to pick your brain a little bit here on the continued developments that come out of the AutoPen story. Some are calling it a scandal. I'm wondering if scandal is as bad as you anticipate this story developing, or if there is any part of the Biden presidency, should they be able to prove that he was unaware of anything the AutoPen signed, is any of that undoable?
Yes. If he did not consent or have knowledge, then any document that bears his signature is fraudulent and a forgery under law, which, by the way, are crimes. Look, the use of an auto pen is not by itself against the law, as long as, I say, you know, there's consent and knowledge. But here we're getting evidence, including, you know, from Biden himself in, you know, his interview with the New York Times. that, you know, some people seem to have been receiving directions from him that he was authorizing them to make decisions on when to use the auto pen. The president cannot delegate authorization. He can only direct it. And so, for example, Neera Tanden, among the first people to be interviewed in the Oversight Committee investigation in the House, said, yeah, I was in charge of the auto pen, and I would send requests to the inner circle, and I never knew who approved it. Now, that is troubling, because if it wasn't Biden who directly and specifically approved specific documents, then, you know, arguably those documents are null and void.
So is the burden of proof on knowledge or, you know, authorization by President Joe Biden, is that burden of proof pretty steep, hard to do?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think I'll give you an example of what could prove to be a test case. So Senator Rand Paul has made a criminal referral against Anthony Fauci to the Department of Justice for lying to Congress. And in my opinion, Fauci did lie, you know, about funding dangerous gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab, which I suspect is where the virus emerged. So he arguably had a direct hand in creating a pandemic that killed, you know, millions of people. So and he didn't, I've watched his testimony, he didn't seem to be telling the truth. He was denying it, and yet documents belie that. So if the DOJ were to charge Fauci, he would assert an affirmative defense, which is, I have a pardon. That shifts the burden then to the government to prove that the pardon is null and void, because it wasn't directly signed by Joe Biden. The question becomes, did he direct it, or did other people make the decision to issue the preemptive pardon?
Well, all of these stories up in the air and progressing, and your legal expertise is always very much so valued here on our show. Greg Jarrett, thank you for the time today. We're glad you're here.
My pleasure, Annie. Take care.
You as well. Bye-bye.